Boker Tov. Wanted to bring a quick word. I had actually started a podcast a little bit earlier this morning on the way home. On the way home, there was a wasn't quite sunrise yet, but you could see some of the pink and the kind of salmon colors. It was beautiful. Very, very cold. I think this last night was our first freeze. And I just wanted to bring a quick word and hope that everybody has had a great Hanukkah and Chag Sameach. We are sorry that we have not been able to post a whole lot lately. We've been quite busy doing several projects, things kind of out of the ordinary. So we hope to get back into more of a consistent routine of sending out podcasts and videos and blogs and such. So just wanted to jump right into John chapter 9. Now, I mentioned Hanukkah. I know some listening to this go by the rabbinic, and so then Hanukkah hasn't happened yet. So, but I wanted to talk about just a second here, John chapter 9, because it was during the Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication, that the man that was born blind had his eyes open. And it's one of my favorite chapters. I mentioned it in along with Isaiah 6. I mentioned both of these in my book, Possessing a Love for the Truth, about the man being born blind and being healed by Yahushua. But it says, in passing by, saw a man blind from his birth, and his taught ones asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Yahushua answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of Elohim might be manifest in him. It is necessary for me to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one is able to work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, and he goes and he continues on, and at that point, you know, he spits on the ground and makes the mud and puts it on the man's eyes. What caught me earlier was even to a testimony to this passage in something that happened recently with a friend of ours, one whom I've only met a couple of times, but I want to draw attention to who she was saying that night is coming, and that's alluding to death first and foremost. Now, there's other things, other revelations and things that I won't share here. Maybe that will be at another time, but basically saying night is coming when no one can work. Obviously, the dead cannot praise, the dead cannot work the works of Elohim, because in what Yahushua said, he was primarily talking about his death, because he says, as right after that, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now that directly hit me that while he said, while he is in the world, he is the light of the world. While we are in the world, we are also the light of the world, because we also are empowered to do the works of Elohim. And it says, when night is coming, no one is able to work. The word able is dunamai or dynamo or some variation of that in the Greek, meaning no one will have the power to work or to do Father's occupation, his business, to work, basically to work the Father's business in the earth. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And our friend, we had met at a meeting. He wasn't there. He came in afterwards, a young man, 22 years old. He came in at a meeting several months ago when we went to a Shabbat gathering to hear James Block here in Texas when he was here. I think it was in September. And then we found out through the man that was hosting it, he's in the roofing business, that my mother-in-law needed some gutters. And so he recommended this friend of the family, who's also a believer, kept the feasts. His name was Zachary, and he started his own business. But long story short, he came out and he did the gutters, and he had taken, when he came to do the estimate, he'd taken a yellow pad with him, and so I had texted him later on. I said, "Hey, you're going to bring the yellow pad back," kind of jokingly, and he had forgotten about it, and then, I don't know, a month or so later, he brought it back. But one is, I'd only met the guy maybe three times at the most. And just a real nice young man, energetic. And we just found out that, because we're staying here with Rebecca's mom, when she came home from a meeting, she called, Rebecca's mom called us together and said, I have something to tell you. She said that Zachary's dead and he's no longer with us. And it was quite of a shock. Come to find out that he went to a job, climbed the ladder at an apartment building. And when he got on top of the roof, I guess there had been a power line that was down or something laying there. And he went instantly into eternity. And it's very hard to talk about, because it brings the realization of night is coming when no man can work. And when we are in the world, we are the light of the world. As long as we are here, death, sometimes it comes instantly, and we'll never have another chance at going and feeding the homeless, or another chance of bringing the light in somebody's life on a particular day. So the realization that night came early for Zachary, and he no longer is able to work the works of Elohim. So this is, it's a somber message, but it's a message of hope, because darkness, is associated with the night, and darkness is coming. Darkness is here. Almost every day now that I get out on the road, there's always, I'm crazy drivers, yes, but you could see the wickedness in people all around. And the darkness is here, and it's going to get to a point to where no one will be able to work. There will be a small period of time where the remnant is bunkers down, and waits because of the wrath of the evil ones. The wrath of the anti-Messiah will be such to a degree where it could be possible that the only message that can get out is the angel that's flying around, just acknowledge, Elohim as creator, and as it mentions in Revelation 14. But not to make this very long, just wanted to bring about the point that I'm always asking myself, what am I doing that's of eternal value? And what am I doing to bring light to others? And we only have an allotted time set forth, for all of our days are numbered. And so, that we must go forth and realize that we are at war. We are at war every single day. There's not a day that we don't get up that, you know, we have to know the strategy of the enemy, but be very, very attentive to what the general Yahuwah is saying and commanding us to do. So word of encouragement this morning. Night is coming when no one can work, but as long as Yahushua is in us, and we exhibit his light out to others, then we must go forth and we must share the good news. There's a lot of watchmen out there that are doing a lot of reporting. They're doing a lot of things on current events, everything from the natural earthquakes and tsunamis to politics, to, you know, the elections. There's a lot of things that can actually consume. Rebecca and I have been overwhelmed at times because of the mass of things that are happening, because the end of the age is wrapping up and Messiah is coming, but the evil is making itself so prevalent, so known, that we must be on alert always, yes. But what the point I'm trying to say is that now is the time to spread the good news. Wherever we go, whatever we do, that we must share of the light and give people hope, strengthening that which remains and is about to die. Time to step up the boldness standard. Even in my own life, I speak to that to my own self, that, you know, gone are the days that, you know, we kind of just, you know, hide our beliefs, you know, for we must get out there and be bold, because there's a time that's coming that, you know, I believe it talks about also in the word that, you know, that we will have to be silent. So just kind of just, you know, not rambling here, but just sharing my heart with you. It's been a while since I've shared anything. So, just want to say, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat starts tonight. Today's preparation day. And, just go forth in his name, go forth and take the little things, even the little things, take joy in the sunrise, take joy in the things that we have, the freedoms that we have now. Even being, you know, with it so cold outside, being in a warm house, being out of the weather, when so many are living in tents, and so many, even a homeless man I met the other day, going to the home improvement store. He was out walking around trying to get grocery money. So I was able to pray with him and to encourage him. And right there in the parking lot, you know, cars driving by, and, you know, I opened my eyes and he had tears coming down his face. And take the time for people. Yes, the wickedness is increasing, but so are the needs of the ones that are interspersed throughout the wicked people that are truly crying out for hope. And if we don't spend the time and to just acknowledge, you know, maybe somebody looks distraught and say, you know, hey, is there something I can pray with you about? I just want to encourage you today that there is hope in this dark world, and especially during this dark time of the pagan holidays, and I'll just say it right out there, Christmas is pagan. It has its roots in pagan origin. And people are bound to the traditions of man. They don't know why they do what they do, but this is a very, I believe, more suicides at this time of year because, you know, people want to be remembered. People want to be thought about. They want to be considered. And so many of people's, family, especially the homeless, have just forgotten about them. Well, that's, you know, old Johnny over there. He's, you know, he made his bed and let him lie in it, you know, type attitudes. Well, it's time that we pick up the, we are in a war against the enemy, but we are also in a battle for rescuing people's lives, snatching them even from the fires, as Jacob talks about, or James, in the book of James, talks about rescuing people from the fires. And so we just want to set the tone for this Shabbat, just leave you some things to think about. You know, how are we showing the light to others? Are we talking about him wherever we go? Or are we just sharing in our Shabbat gatherings, or, you know, our services or whatever during the week? Are we only talking to our believers and fellowshipping? Yes, that's important. What's more important is remembering that Messiah sat with the publicans and the tax collectors and the sinners, and he felt more comfortable with them because, you know, the wicked are wicked, but the wicked are also real, and they're not going to hide their feelings, especially now more. And I just want to end with this, is that the evil is rising to the surface, and the evil must be exposed. Because if the evil is not exposed, then, you know, what are we battling? How do we pray? So, everything that's hidden will come into the light. Remember that we are the light. As long as we are in this world, as long as we have breath, yes, we must praise our Elohim. But we praise our Elohim through, most importantly, not with the words of our mouth, but the actions that we show to others in showing his light. Shalom, shalom.